Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free ebook, 7 Steps to Your First Guest. Our easy-to-follow 7-step guide will give you the confidence you need to do that thing you've always wanted to do. Open up your own short-term rental. Get started today by sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free download of our ebook, 7 Steps to Your First Guest. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy. Now back to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Thanks for Visiting. I am one of your hosts, Sarah Karakayan.
And I'm Annette Grant.
And we are
Thanks for visiting.
All right. So we have a special guest here with us today on site in my office. And I guess really quick, I'm going to say this before I introduce this guest. But just so all the listeners know, Thanks for Visiting is right now our educational aspect of hosting. But my day job or my other business is called Nesters. And it is... So our tagline is we transform spaces and we transform lives because we believe that your four walls can define you. And so within that, we do floor plans, we do space planning, I do staging, I do decorating and installations for short-term rentals. And yeah, so I have my business partner with me here today and my life partner.
Right. When you say we.
Right.
Who is we?
Yeah. Is Nick Karakayan, my hubby.
That's me.
Yay. I am really excited because I hear most of Sarah's hosting journey from her perspective. So today we're going to get her husband's side of the hosting journey, if you will. So Sarah, take us back.
Yeah.
To when you and Nick had your house in Astoria, Queens, New York, you had a, would they call it a mother-in-law suite? I don't know what those are called on the East Coast.
Yeah. So I think it's just like a basement.
A basement with a
bedroom with an ensuite.
And had access to its own entry.
Yes. Okay. And had its own entry. So it's this weird thing that actually drew us to the property because it had its own entry, the basement from the front. Usually like basements might have like an entry from the back or the side, but like When we saw this property for sale, I was like, Nick, we could have a roommate. This is before Airbnb really... Actually, no. Airbnb existed, but it wasn't yet like a common thing. Because we bought this property in 2012, but we started looking at it in 2011. Yep. It was on sale for a while.
Interesting. So this that actual part of the home drew you in,
yes,
correct?
I saw opportunity.
Okay. Did you both see the same opportunity?
No.
In the beginning?
That's not true.
Well, we both saw the opportunity for a roommate.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were...
Who wouldn't intrude on our like lives and we wouldn't intrude on their lives.
Let me paint a picture. Now, the basement itself was a true dungeon and the property was what, 1920s? Something like that?
No, it was built in 1940.
Was it? Okay, yep. Great. I'm glad I got that right. But the foundation walls were these 2-foot castle boulders and mm-hmm. the actual foundation floor itself was actually I think poured later and not in the 40s, and it was only about an inch thick of concrete, so there was some cracking, and in a lot of spots on it there was just
dirt
floor.
Yeah.
And they built a wooden floor on top of it.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of...
So it was just a basement.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So but before we get too far into all this, so I just want our listeners to know, like, the whole point of this episode is I feel like we get a lot of DMs, Annette. Either mm-hmm. it's on Thanks for Visiting or Nesters. Hey, Sarah or Annette, I really want to be a host. I really want to Airbnb, but my partner wants nothing to do with it, or they don't get it, or like, how can I convince them? So this episode is all about the journey Nick and I went through as a married couple, mm-hmm. or, you know, this would even if you just live with your partner.
Or just a roommate in general.
Yeah, or a roommate, maybe, yeah. So that's what this discussion's about. But Nick and I want to take you back onto like how it even came to be, and then our discussion once we discovered that Airbnb existed, the next steps. Yeah.
So walk us through that. Take us through you going from a roommate to random strangers mm-hmm. in the basement.
We were definitely on opposite sides of the fence. I mean, we had 7-foot ceilings in the basement, so I actually dug down, reported the foundation.
This was all in preparation for a roommate.
Correct.
Because we wanted income to help us pay our mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Which we ended up getting a long-term roommate at first.
And actually, that long-term roommate, hey, Corey and Jeremy, was a couple. And Jeremy, before he moved in with his now husband, Corey, to this apartment, he lived in his own apartment blocks away in Astoria. He's from Australia, and Australians are much more hip to what's going on in the world, because he was already Airbnb-ing. I think it was like in like, he's probably going to be like, that was wrong, Sarah. But like 2009, 2010, Airbnb started in 2008, you guys. So like one time he had me come over because he was like, hey, I'm getting an Airbnb guest. Can you reset the bed? So I did. And then I started learning about what this was. And so then I brought it to Nick. And he was like, let's have long-term renters. Corey and Jeremy were exploring living together. So they moved in. They were our long-term renters and friend. But eventually, it was a small space and they wanted...
Yeah, I think Corey was with us at first and that was the plan. Once Jeremy came into the picture...
It was too small.
So they decided to move fairly quickly. And then we're like, okay, what are our options?
Right.
Now, I didn't really want stranger... Sarah, you want strangers coming in every single day? And at that time, we're doing the cleanings.
Yeah.
So I'm scrubbing toilets.
But wait, back up until like before, obviously, I convinced you. But I'll never forget how it happened. Like, Corey and Jeremy were moving out, and we had to decide what we wanted to do. And so you were sitting in the living room on your favorite leather recliner.
Yeah.
And I sat down on the arm of our couch, and I was like, I think we should try this Airbnb thing.
Had you guys been a guest?
No.
Ooh, even better. So you really had no idea what was up. Okay.
The reason that, honestly, Jeremy is the one who pushed me over because he was paying his rent in New York City. He had a 2-bedroom.
Okay.
And just by having a guest on the weekends for the most part,
yeah, it wasn't all the time.
Paid his rent. It was unbelievable.
Nice. Okay. So I like this typical partner
squabble
story. They will not, you know, trust the partner. They'll have an outside source that pushes them over the edge. But that's fine.
Years, I've learned to trust Sarah a lot more.
Okay, good answer. She'll pay you later for that.
So Jeremy told you that. And I mean, that's what drew me too, was like, you know what it was too? Our mortgage at this time was $3,000 a month. The moral of the story later on, we refinanced and we got it down to what, 24?
24 something.
But at $3,000 a month, I was like, Nick, we need to do something to help us pay. We had good jobs, but as you guys know, New York City is expensive. So I think what got Nick on board was just the amount of money that we could make. We could make $1,400 a month having long-term renters down there.
Okay.
Or we made more than $3,000 a month on Airbnb, because we not only paid our mortgage, but we also cash flowed.
We also did the cleaning too.
We also did the cleaning too. Yes.
Let's pause. Yeah. Say that again.
Yes.
You could have rented short term for $1,400.
Long term.
But you ended up making over $3,000 a month mm-hmm. on the basement room mm-hmm. in New York City. So mm-hmm. it was paying your mortgage plus up.
Plus you made like $100 or something.
That
like
is
that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So something I always like to talk to everybody about too is what's so great about Airbnb or any short-term rental platform, you are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not your jam, you can stop and get the long-term renter back. So that's where I think you have to dip your toe in the water at least for a little while and try it. And you don't have to open up your calendar for every single day.
No.
365 days a year. And so whether it's a room in your basement or a room over your garage or an extra bedroom, you can definitely, it's so easy to test it with basically zero financial, you know, I mean, obviously you guys fixed up the basement, but you still probably could have done your house and then stay in the basement. You know, there's a lot of options, but I think just keeping that in mind that they committed to it, but they didn't have to fully commit to it. They could have went back to the long-term renter. And is that how you sold Nick, saying, hey, if this doesn't work, we can always put it like, get someone in here long-term,
easy. Yeah. I mean, because we were going to fix up the basement anyways. So like, I think if you're out there and you're like, you want to have a side hustle, you want to make extra money and your partner isn't keen on it, you can say that to him. Like, listen, if Airbnb doesn't work out, maybe we can get a roommate who's maybe a 6 month, because that's also scary, getting a roommate mm-hmm. that you're committed to for a year.
Well, I think at the time we had Corey committed and we love hanging out with Corey. So that wasn't an issue.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, let's have someone we know, someone we're friends with.
Right. Stay. And it was great. But then he is moving on.
And that was the catalyst for me as well. So on top of her, hey, Nick, we should try this. Hey, Nick, we should try this. Hey, Nick, we should try this. Then the reality was, we don't know who else we can bring in that would be comparable to what we had.
So when you guys had this conversation, did you decide then on the chair and on the couch that you were going to do this? And did you say, hey, Nick, I'll take,
yes,
I'll own this. Yes. You just sit back, relax.
Yes.
I'll run this.
Yes. So we immediately, yes, I immediately, and I was excited. Like at the time I was working at a hotel and I was like, I got this. Like hospitality has been, even working in restaurants since I was 16. I was like, I got this. And I had the opportunity to stage it, which I love to do too. And then I got Nick on, like, I knew he was excited on board when he was like, hey, Sarah, so this product I'm on, there is a bed that my client doesn't want anymore. It's really cute. Should I bring it home? And I was like, yes. And I found a dresser and I painted it. So like, we did it on a shoestring budget at that time because Nick was still on the fence. So while I don't condone you just piecemealing an Airbnb together and having it look bland and boring, you can still do something super cheap by, you know, asking around, seeing who has like a headboard. Maybe you have an extra mattress or someone does that's nice and clean and comfy.
One thing we did decide to invest in was a new mattress.
We did. You're not wrong. And I think, you guys, it's the same mattress that I still preach about. It's this mattress. We'll link to it on this episode. It'll be an affiliate link. Thank you for your support. Same price, so no matter what. But it's on Overstock and it was under $500. And it's been... people have loved it for now. How many years now?
6 or 7.
So yeah. So
I mean, we've gotten new beds since. Have we? Is that the same mattress, that one?
No. So that's another moral of the story.
Oh, we left it with the house.
So when we sold the house, because we had an operating Airbnb and I had numbers to show the investor. It doesn't matter if it's an investor or a regular buyer. Mm-hmm. But we're like, this is already running. You have to start your own Airbnb account. But if you want to just buy everything,
it's ready to go.
That was a great selling point for the house. We actually were able to get a premium because we're selling a business with the house.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first guests in the basement?
I do. It was a gentleman from Chile.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Here's another good tip too. So I'm obviously the person who was for it and Nick was kind of hesitant. So I told Nick, we're not going to do like one night stays. Let's make a minimum of 3 nights. So we get people who have to commit to coming to our space and they have to be good guests because they're there for 3 nights and paying for 3 nights. So that might be a good tip for you if you want to like convince your partner. What if we just do a little bit of a longer guest stay?
Gotcha.
3 nights, 5 nights, maybe a week people have to commit to. Depending on where you live, this may or may not work.
Right.
But I think that helps you too. You're like, okay.
Nick, were you on the app? Like, were you active? Like, were you getting booking messages? Were you responding to guests or was that all Sarah in the beginning?
In the beginning, it was all Sarah.
Okay.
As far as dealing with the guests. Mm-hmm. Although what's ironic about the whole situation is I'm the one who always saw them. Even though we had our lockbox. In the beginning, there was no smart lock. It was just a lockbox.
Right,
on the
realtor thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But I'm the one who always saw our guests. I'm like, oh, hi. And it seems to be...
Because you're always the one doing yard work.
Yeah.
Because I don't do yard work.
And it's still the same way today on all of our properties.
Yeah, that's like, true. Yeah.
Sarah,
I'm in the office on the computer and Nick's like he likes
doing things.
Yeah, he likes to be like active on the property.
What's interesting though is that in the beginning, I remember a lot of people wanting to meet us. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Oh my gosh, I got to meet Sarah who designed this space. When can we talk to her?" We don't get that so much anymore, but still
I think
happens.
Airbnb's just changed too. Yes. With like not having to meet the host. Yeah. So it's just the culture is a little bit different.
But eventually, so we did the cleaning at first too, which is a huge, so, you know, we wouldn't have made that $3,000 a month
right.
a plus then had we not also been taking that cleaning fee for ourselves. But again, let's say that like, that's still your time. So it's okay to pay yourself the cleaning fee to turn over the space. But Nick and I would tackle it together after a while. I was like, Nick, I can't. And we also, we also left a day between reservations.
Nice. Because I was going to ask, was there ever a time that you guys are like scrubbing toilets like down to the wire and Nick's like, what the hell have you got?
Not at first.
Not at first, but at first we weren't making nearly $3,000. At first we were making the $1,400 that we wanted to make.
Okay.
And then we, you know, you pick up things on how to make things a little bit more efficient and streamlined. And then we're like, okay, let's not do that date buffer anymore. Let's just get in there and start maximizing. Because as I started to believe that this was a possible thing, it's so funny. You can hear all the stories you want, but until you experience it for yourself, you're always like,
hesitant. So I think that's a great point that Nick and Sarah just made of when you do first start out, we do want to be extremely realistic. You're not going to have any reviews. You aren't going to most likely, unless you're in some area or there's a specific event or something, you're most likely not going to trump your long-term rental price right off the bat. But once you pick up steam, you'll be good to go. So I do want to make that clear to all of our listeners. We're gangbusters now, but it does, just like anything else, it does take some time to ramp up and get the bookings, get the reviews, and then also just kind of learn from your own, the area that you're in to get to where you need to be to make it really worth your while. But what Nick said is once you do start to get that traction, it gets exciting. You're like, let's open up the calendar. Let's do this. Yeah. And you find ways to really dig in and increase your revenue.
And I'm definitely, I'm always trying to think long-term for our investments. And at that time, we just had our basement. And interestingly enough, we got a knock on our door from a developer who wanted to purchase our home. And we went back and forth for a while talking because we didn't want to leave New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, let's get another property because I want to do 20 Airbnbs.
Right.
And we quickly realized that being the smallest house in Astoria, Queens, that everything else was way out of our price range. With the market was doing at the time, there was just no way that we were going to be able to keep that house and buy another.
Yes and no. Well, a savvy real estate investor listening to this might say there were ways we could have.
Sure, but at our level of education at the time,
we didn't know what we didn't know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think this is something also to talk to our audience about. At this point in time, Nick and Sarah were working full-time jobs. And if you follow them on their social media and website now, Nesters, they are now, you know, real estate owners, they're flippers, they're all of the above. But at this point in time, real estate, I don't feel like real estate investment was really in your on your resume yet, correct?
We were still, so the house purchase was a way, we knew we should own. That's all we knew. I had just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Nick had just reread it because he told me to read it. We were listening to Robert Kiyosaki's like podcast. So I was learning about it.
They were drinking the Kool-Aid.
We were starting to sip that Kool-Aid.
Well, yeah. It's funny. I was just starting to get into like bigger pockets and really trying to listen to something that will, I wanted to build a business, you know? And man, it went so slow back then. It's so funny to think about right now. And I just think that the more and more we thought about getting more properties, and you know what? It's a good point. If I would have known about HELOCs and refinancing and leveraging the, you know, all that stuff, we probably would have found a way to keep that property.
Right.
But we made some good decisions after we sold that too. So I don't regret that.
And we will talk about that a little because we could sit and talk for hours about what has happened since the basement.
The basement.
But let's get to the basics really quick before we wrap up the episode. What do you guys think? Two things. A, like using your own property. How do you convince your partner? Like if you have, if it's in your own area. And I think that's a kind of different discussion too, of like having strangers on your property. Mm-hmm. What are those points, Sarah, Nick, that you can comfort people in letting them know how well it worked out for you? And then also just hosting alongside of your partner and, you know, making sure that that communication is open and how you guys have been successful in that.
I would say this, it really is interesting. So Sarah and I are in business together. We have three businesses together and we see each other all the time.
But at that point you weren't though.
Correct.
Okay.
So we had separate lives, what seemed to be compared to now. And it's really hard to be exactly on the same page as your partner, regardless of who they are, like whether it's business partner, private partner, you know, life partner or both. Mm-hmm. Someone's always a little bit more excited about an aspect of the business than you are. And, mm-hmm. and it goes back and forth sometimes. That would be the ideal, is that it goes back and forth and there is some type of balance there. But Sarah was definitely carrying the torch in the beginning. I wanted to just own more real estate, and however it generated cash flow wasn't really a concern of mine.
Okay.
Sarah saw the opportunity to make more money doing short-term rentals, so we did. And I think my biggest holdups in the beginning before I realized what the potential was strangers being my house that I don't know, that are, and this isn't separate apartments. Like now we have separate houses, separate apartments. Mm-hmm. This is in our home where we're living
right.
with our dog.
So one way to, so let's dive into that. So if your partner is like, I don't know how I feel about a stranger being in our basement or in a bedroom down the hall or in our carriage house, I think what you can, here are some things that you can do. And if you've listened to this podcast, we've talked about this, but you can set, you don't have to do instant book, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You can let, you have your, you can say, I'm going to have a conversation with each person who wants to book with us. And now we can also let people who've only been positively reviewed in the past mm-hmm. stay in our home. So I think that's one thing you can tell your partner, like we can control without, you know, breaking any fair housing laws.
Right, exactly.
Who we allow.
Right.
Yeah. Or discrimination. Correct. We do not want to do that. But just that comfort level of like, I know we don't know this person, but we can call them on the phone before they mm-hmm. book. We can make sure they've been positively reviewed beforehand. Mm-hmm. So those are some things that can solve that problem.
We can ask why they're coming into town.
Why they're coming into town. Yeah. Maybe you don't do one night stays. So it's like you have to kind of like
commit
mm-hmm. to being at our property.
At the time when we first started, I found that the visitors we were getting in New York City, granted, they were traveling from around the world, mm-hmm. which was kind of exciting to me. So we're meeting people from, I mean, literally, how many different countries have we? We had a book that everyone signed in.
I think
in.
At the time it was like
dozens.
Well, Airbnb will tell you how many people how many different countries you've hosted. But oh yeah, so many.
That's cool.
And I found that to be pretty cool. And these guests who are coming in, they were excited to be in New York. They were excited to be visiting to go out and experience New York. So the reality of it is that they came to our place to sleep. They weren't there.
It's true.
They
really, to be safe and to sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They really weren't there that much. And when they did get back, they were pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And they went to bed. And I'm just like, wait a minute. There's less wear and tear on my property. Mm-hmm. They're not really using that much of the utilities. Mm-hmm. They're just coming here to be in a comfortable bed so they can get up and get out in the city the next day.
And you got to review your space often, where if you had a long-term renter,
yeah.
it might be quite some time.
Right.
Oh,
or
yeah.
they might just annoy you.
Yeah.
And we'll have to have a follow-up episode and to talk to our guests and let our listeners know what like spawned from this basement Airbnb. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is just trying something different. And I know the ripple effect that it's had on your life, which is amazing. We'll talk about that in another episode. But I think just bringing the idea out, talking about it, follow Nick and Sarah on their Instagram, and you can kind of, you'll be able to see them on their daily adventures with their multiple Airbnb properties now.
Yeah.
But we'll have to have a follow-up episode and tell them about that.
One more tip before we sign off. So not only can you control your guests, right, in a way, but also maybe present to your partner, do some research and give them numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can control your calendar a little bit too. Maybe you don't do, you know, balls to the wall,
right?
So to speak. Maybe you do a little slow start and say, I know I've spoken to other hosts in our areas and mm-hmm. they make this amount. So, mm-hmm. and that might entice your partner to say, all right, I'll give it a try. We'll do it for 3 months. You have, you know, even worst case scenario, if you have those numbers, you know that I'm going to make numbers up. In 3 months, if you do every weekend, you'll make $4,000. So you're not allowed to spend more than maybe, let's say, 80% of that on furnishings.
Right.
So at the worst case scenario, you bought some furnishings, you made a little bit of money, you gave it a go.
Right.
You know, like present your partner with numbers and facts to the best of your knowledge so that they have all the information they need to let you try something. And then I think the last tip would be then to take it over fully. Don't involve your partner unless they want to watch you. Maybe you can report to them every night or whatever. And then maybe they'll start like helping you clean or like looking at your performance on the platform and seeing how much your money you're making or like see who's coming to visit and the reviews they left behind and get them involved in, you know, how it's making a difference in people's lives, having someplace nice, safe to come stay at.
And Nick, what would your suggestion be to somebody that's hesitant, a partner that's hesitant if they make them listen to this episode?
Well, Airbnb has changed
so much
the last 7 years. So I don't know how I'd feel about bringing a guest into my personal residence now, mm-hmm. now that I've gotten used to not doing that.
Right.
But being in New York City at the time, we had roommates, we were young, and it just made sense. So it's a little easier to do that.
Right.
But we also know people who, believe it or not, they even have kids. They'll leave for the weekend. And they'll rent out their house
mm-hmm.
and they'll make thousands and thousands of dollars for a weekend because they have a big, beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll stay with friends or family or a hotel. And it's just, it's still worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's your home, I can see the challenges there. But if you do have an investment property, the good thing is in a great economy, the numbers start getting tight before the real estate's always changing. I just think it's a great feather to put in your cap to be as a tool to be able to purchase a property that may not make sense with traditional terms.
Mm-hmm.
So Airbnb allows us to, you know, buy a property where the deal might be a little tight.
Gotcha.
Because we're able to make that income and have it make sense and then capitalize on that equity gain. So it's really a great opportunity to be able to get your foot in the door into real estate if it's something that you've been more hesitant about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always wanted to do that, but the numbers are just too tight and
well,
I get in trouble.
But I don't want our listeners to, so on, but I also preach that, and this is kind of getting into a whole other category, or, you know, topic here, but yes, Nick is right.
Make
but
sure the numbers
time,
make sense with long-term tenants.
And then that's your first exit strategy. And your last exit strategy is, can you sell the property?
Mm-hmm.
And my argument there is selling a furnished place that's beautiful with a functioning business gives you that leverage as
that
well.
You're not wrong.
Absolutely.
You're not
so
wrong.
I think it's a win all the way around. It's not necessarily the only option in real estate to do, but it just makes things a little bit more desirable and possible.
So as you can tell, Nick's a fan now of Airbnb. So.
Yeah. And I think that's what's cool too is if someone would have told Nick, hey, you're going to be on a podcast with your wife talking about Airbnb from that day that they were sitting in the living room, he would have been very confused and
mm-hmm.
probably, what are you talking about? So yeah, take a chance. There are so many resources, including us out there. And especially Sarah and Nick, follow them, check them out on social media, on their website. Because especially if you have a partner, that's hesitant, show them, like, go to Nestor's. And, like, this is, like, proof they can follow along in their whole story and kind of just see that there is a ton of people out there doing the same exact thing. And I know we've had other couples on the podcast. So there are, I think, at least 4 episodes of couples doing this together. And they're all, once they've started, they've never looked back.
Yeah.
So I think you've got a lot of proof and a lot of things and resources that your partner can listen to. Thank you for being on the show, Nick.
Thanks for visiting us.
Yes.
Love hanging out with you guys.
We're going to have Nick on other episodes too because he is heavily involved with all of their Airbnbs now and has a wealth of knowledge to share with everybody.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for visiting and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.